All right, so you ready for the word today? I'm just going to share it briefly, and I believe that what I'm going to share is going to really, really help you for the retreat. But even if you're not going to the retreat for whatever reason, or you're watching online, I believe the things that I'm going to share with you are going to be very, very helpful in receiving from God. How do we receive from God? How do we actually approach God when he speaks to us? Because I believe God is always speaking. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that there is utterance, supernatural utterance in this house. Lord, this is your church. This is the church that you decided to, over 22 years ago, to have be birthed in this town. And Father, you wanted to do business through Westchester Family Church here. And Father, I thank you that I've had the privilege of leading that church for over 20 years with Pastor Christine. And so Father, I thank you for that honor, that privilege. But Lord, I just give it all back to you. Lord, this is your church. Yes. And so Father, I thank you that as I speak today, you will speak to us, you'll encourage us. Help us, Father God, to become more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're a faith church. That means we believe that promises and things that God has put in his word, we can receive them by faith. Now, I'm going to make a delineation. We don't get stuff from God. God is not the stuff mart in the sky. We receive what he's promised. That's what we do. We find out what his word says, and we receive what he's promised. Amen? So in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, we're just going to go right there in verse 1. It says, Now faith is. Just stop with me just for a moment. Faith is. It's a substance. Notice what it says. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. And then he goes on to talk about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, you should. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I believe that I've got a church full of people, full of families, full of friends, full of people that they want to know God. They want to experience everything that God has for them. They are faith-filled people. You know, I think sometimes Christian, the word Christian kind of gets watered down a little bit, because, you know, people think, well, I was born in the United States, I must be a Christian. There are people who still walk around with that notion, because we're, quote, we were told, and, you know, we're a Christian nation. Well, maybe founded on Judeo-Christian principles, but that does not mean, just because you were born in the United States, that you're a Christian. Christian actually means Christ-like one, or a Christ follower. I like the term believers, because guess what? Believers do something. They're action-oriented. What do? They believe. They believe. They believe God, and they believe what God has said is true. And so, when we understand that without faith it's impossible to please God, that he rewards those who come to him. He rewards those. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in preparation for this morning, God just began to download some things for me. I've been so excited about this retreat. I'm about ready to come out of my skin. Some of the things that I think, just pray for the retreat and come expecting, okay? All right. So let's look at this. I'm just going to read a quote right now. It says, in order to realize regeneration and relationship, it's absolutely essential for us to receive as for God to have given. That's by A.J. Gordon. It says this, for God to give is one thing. For us to receive, is quite another. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son is the word of our Lord to Nicodemus. But it is written also, as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God. And then I'm going to repeat what I just said. In order to realize regeneration and sonship, it is absolutely essential for us to receive as for God to have given. Amen. So we want to talk about preparation of the heart. Preparation of the heart. How do we receive? Well, I'm reminded of Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam was David's grandson. So he's essentially Solomon's son. He's David's grandson. And the scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 12:14, it says, Rehoboam, the king of Israel, who was the grand, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now we read more in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. We realize that Rehoboam he got off track pretty quickly. Well, how did that happen? Well, I think that verse is indicative of what happened. He didn't prepare his heart. He did not prepare his heart. So you say, well, what does that mean? Well, the word prepare in the Hebrew language means to establish, to fix, to prepare or apply. It conveys the idea of deliberate effort over a prolonged period of time. The same Hebrew word that was used, prepare, was also translated fixed 4 times in the Old Testament. All were spoken by King David. When he said in Psalms, he said, I fixed my heart on you, O God. In Psalm 57:7, my heart is steadfast. It's fixed. Remember what that definition was. To what? To prepare, to apply, to establish. It's the deliberate action of fixing your heart on something. Psalm 57:7-8 says, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. So this word fixed in the Hebrew language has this, it has an idea of an intentional action, an ongoing action that says, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep doing this. And if we go back to our verse in 2 Chronicles, Rehoboam stopped fixing his heart toward the Lord. It is how we get Christians who get totally derailed. It is how we see Christian leaders get derailed, pastors, elders, people, because we're all flawed. If we don't fix our hearts, if we don't actually fix it. Now you say, well, Jesus fixed my heart. Yes, but we still have a responsibility for that ongoing action that says, I'm going to keep my heart steadfast on you. Now notice what David said there in Psalm 57. He talks about my heart is fixed in the King James language. In the New King James says my heart is steadfast. It's established. So God is establishing his heart. But he gives us an insight into what happened. What did he do? He worshiped God. There was an intimate time with God. If your Christianity doesn't experience God, if it's just head knowledge, then it's just religion. Yeah, that's right. And it'll be dry and empty. But you see, God wants us to experience His love. He wants us to experience Him in everything that we do. He wants that kind of relationship. So in preparation for this retreat, the word fixed comes to mind. And this is what I want to give you today. I'm going to give it to you in acronym form, and then I'm going to be done. Okay? Because I can always finish another time. All right? So here we go. If we're going to have our heart fixed, if we're going to, by faith, receive everything that God has for us, then this is what we are doing. The action of taking an entire day out, away from things that are familiar, this is what we are doing. We are focusing on Him. And just like Psalm 57 says, Psalm 57 tells us that David's heart was steadfast, it was fixed, and he worshiped God. He got into a place of God's presence. And so this first F of the word fixed is focus. Focus. Write the word focus if you're taking notes. And it's a decision to keep your eyes on Him. You know, I'm reminded of what my oldest daughter said about what she learned about sheep in working with sight and sound animals at the Sight and Sound Theater. Sheep, I said to her one day, sheep are dumb animals, right? And she looked at me and she said, no, Dad, they're actually very smart. They just don't make good decisions. Now let that resonate with you just for a second, okay? They're actually very smart. They need to be guided. They need a shepherd who guides them in the better decision. So if you don't keep your eyes fixed on the shepherd who leads, Psalm 23, He leads me beside the still waters. If your life is not still waters, do you have your eyes on the shepherd? Are you hearing His voice? So focus, that's time invested in knowing Him and His ways. Focus, that's the first F. I'm going through these quickly for time's sake. Intend. It is a decision to keep your eyes on Him. It's an intent. Intent. Stay intent to keep your eyes on Him. Remember, Rehoboam, he started out okay. In fact, at one point, he listened to a prophet for a couple of years. But out of his 17-year reign, he became king at 41 years old. Only 3 years did he follow the Lord. Let that sink in just for a minute. So sometimes when we hear about high-profile Christians renouncing the faith, Christian musicians renouncing the faith, different people turning their back on God who at one point were actually speaking about God, how did that happen? Well, they stopped fixing their eyes on the shepherd and they just were looking at everything else. So remember, focus. Intent. Stay close to the shepherd. Don't lose sight of the shepherd. When he says go, go. When he says go this way, go this way. Don't get numb to where the shepherd is leading you. E, fixed, right? X. Excuse me, got to spell right. I'm a terrible auditorial speller. You can just ask my family. I know that's a bad confession. It's just fact, okay? If you spell something out, I'm going to look at you like a puppy dog and have to try to figure it out, okay? So, and I have a pretty good vocabulary. That's the weird thing. Focus, intent, and then the third thing is X. Well, I know some Christians got upset years ago because people saw Xmas, and then they got offended because they said they took Christ out of Christmas. Well, in the Greek language, X actually means Christ. So when you use the Greek alphabet, X, you're actually saying Christ. In other words, keep Christ focused. Keep Christ focused. He is, according to Hebrews 12, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. Let Him finish. So Christ is so vital in receiving from God. If you leave Him out, you're just getting into religion. You've got to keep Christ as the center. And then E, because we're spelling the word F-I-X-E, right? Fixed. We're on the E. Eliminate. Eliminate the unnecessary. Eliminate the unnecessary. I realized over these last several months, I really feel like God has been doing such an internal work in this church, in me, in you. I'm excited about what the future holds. And because of that, there are certain things that God has just told me just to kind of throw that to the side. Throw that to the side. Why? Well, Jesus said on two different occasions, be careful what you hear and be careful how you hear. Be careful what you hear and how you hear. You have to eliminate the things that are cluttering you. I told you in my testimony that I actually eliminated secular music from my life, and it saved my walk with God multiple times. I eliminated just worldly music that would pull me off the focus that I was determined to have. And then the last, distractions. Distractions. Get rid of distractions. That's what we're doing Saturday. We are setting off some time to get rid of distractions. We're going to focus. We are going to be intent. We're going to put Christ first in what we're doing. We're going to eliminate anything that is unnecessary, and we're going to have an experience with God because we're going to eliminate those distractions. Early on, when I was getting ready to go to college, I remember my sister, who was really good at school, and I struggled at school. I remember she said to me, she said, Douglas, as only my big sister can, oh, Douglas, she's 4 years older. She said, Douglas, whenever you can, sit at the front of the class. And I said, why? She said, there's less distraction between you and what the teacher is saying. If you'll notice, when I go to a church meeting and you're with me, where do I like to sit? Any men know?
Front right.
Front right. He knows. If I go to Rhema, I'm in the front right. I like to sit toward the front. I don't like to sit in the back. Why? Because I want to eliminate as many distractions as possible. Eliminate those distractions. I'm giving you some help here. I believe it's going to really, really help you. All right? Amen. Well, praise God. I got more in this, but I am going to save it because it's going to help you. It's really going to help you. Amen? Well, praise God. We want to fix our eyes on Him. We want to focus on Him. We want to be intent. We want to put Christ first. We want to eliminate anything that is unnecessary, and we want to be distraction free. So come expecting with a heart full of faith. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your help. Lord, you are so good to us that you're helping us even as we set apart this time for this retreat. We're expecting. We've got an expectation that you're going to show up, show big, and cause such amazing change in our lives, our families, and our church. And Lord, we thank you for this message about preparing our hearts. Lord, that you would help it to sink in and that we would act upon it in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're watching at home and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's real simple. You just got to believe what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. And that is that you believe in your heart. You confess him with your mouth. And the Bible says, as you receive him, and I read that verse just a little bit earlier in the message, for all who received him, he gave the right to become sons and daughters of God. If that's you, you want to receive Christ, you want to rededicate your life to Christ. If you're here in the audience, slip up your hand. If you are watching at home, you want to pray with us. If you'll mean this prayer from your heart, God will meet you right where you're in. And he'll become your Lord and Savior, and you can recommit your life to him. If you've been away from God, you got off track, you didn't fix your heart, you can come back. So let's all pray together just so that nobody feels left out. Let's pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your word. I thank you that Jesus came to die for my sins so that I could live. He is raised from the dead, and I receive his forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Just confess him. Tell somebody. Message us on Facebook. Let somebody know, and we can help you find a church in your area. Let's stand to our feet right now, and let's have our sending out verse. And it is, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8.